there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tryggvi, sitting here in Iceland, steaming hot 10 degrees Celsius Iceland. And over there in Denmark is Rune. Welcome to the show. This week we are talking about Greta Gerwig's feature debut, Lady Bird.
That is true.
Rune, before we go, how many degrees over there?
I think it's around 24, 25 now.
Jeez.
Outside, and it's 10:30 in the evening. So
it's really high for Denmark, isn't it?
It's been a crazy May, yeah. Look, jeez. Here we are talking about the weather, but yeah, it is hot. It is hot.
Anyway, what are you drinking tonight?
Today, I am drinking a Bohemian Pils, it's called. Not Pils, but like Pils in Danish is like a normal beer, kind of.
Okay, not a Pilsner then? Or?
Yeah, it's a Pilsner, but okay. But in Danish we just say Pils sometimes.
All right.
Yeah,
for short. Good.
Yeah, kind of like you call a skirt a pils, I guess.
Okay. So, yes, yeah, Icelandic, yeah. Okay.
It's a beer brewed on apples, apparently, and it's from a brewery called Schütz. Do think it's Danish, actually. Nay, it is Czech.
It's Czech.
It's
yes.
Czech. So
good.
There we go.
Let me hear that.
I've been waiting for this for ages.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Opening this beer.
And
it smells good. Yeah.
Here comes the pouring of the beer. This is the most exciting moment in every podcast.
Yeah. The moment everybody is waiting for.
Yeah.
And the sniffing of the beer. Let's see.
It's looking fairly light there.
It is very light. It has a very strong, sharp taste, though. Not much
it's
apple
a very
in it.
Small glass you had there. What's it's like a shot glass or?
No, it's like.
Or maybe
a
you just have such
glass.
Huge hands.
Yeah, well, probably. I think this is a fairly decent, like, normal kind of glass.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Let's say 25 centiliter glass. All anyway, right. What are you drinking? Are you going to surprise us tonight?
Is it my turn? There will be no surprises.
No surprises.
It's Hoegaarden.
In a can.
In a can.
And in a glass.
Yeah, but they didn't have bottled Hoegaarden last time I went to through customs. So,
have you made it through the whole gift bag you got from
There's one left, and that isn't really a Weissbier, so okay. I'm kind of...
You're just sticking...
Letting that one slide.
Yeah.
I fucked up the pouring.
Yeah.
Pretty much. As you can see,
yeah.
It's a huge head on that guy, kind of like Max Headroom.
Yeah.
Since we were talking about him the other day.
Yeah, exactly. But it looks good.
Oh, I actually have a Hoegaarden comment of sorts.
Yeah.
I went to a party last weekend and I met some people who had lived in Belgium and were about to live in Belgium and know the country. And apparently Hoegaarden is not really registered really high there.
Okay.
So kind of like a commercial thing.
Uh-huh.
Apparently they have many, 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 many brands of Weissbier that are way better. So I'm really looking forward to going
this
summer. Now. But until then, I will enjoy my Hoegaarden. And
yeah. When you don't know
remember,
the competition, then
no. Well,
ignorance is bliss.
I just think, yeah. I just think that even if a thing is commercially successful, big brand, it doesn't make it bad. That's my opinion.
But you also have big players like Tuborg and Carlsberg here, and
it's good.
Tuborg and Carlsberg here are like they make good beer, but they also make very bland beer. And it's the bland one that is successful everywhere, basically.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Because it's easy to brand it somehow. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And everybody likes it because it's not offensive in any way. It's just a beer.
You get Mads Mikkelsen, Bicycle, and Hygge, and you have a campaign and millions and millions.
Yes. Oh. Easy.
Skål.
Skål again. Yeah. We need this in the heat.
Oh, it's piping hot. 10 degrees, something like that. 8 to 12.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we had a comment on our website, so thank you very much for that. It came from a guy called Jim, and we've already actually answered him on our website, so you can just go there and check that out. But I want to take like just a moment to answer his question or like his comment about this game I was playing. Two weeks ago when we talked last, because now I finished it, and it makes so much sense that this game is featured on Letterboxd because it's basically a movie, it's moving. It's actually quite relevant, even though it might be a little bit heavy-handed at times. You know, the game was called Detroit Become Human, and it's a story-driven, well, interactive story, basically. So many different outcomes of what you're doing. So everything that you do seems to have meaningful impacts, and that's just kind of tense to play through. And you're swept away by the story. Jim was saying that he would hold off on buying this game because he burnt his fingers with the previous game called Beyond Two Souls, and I am just here to tell you, just buy that darn thing. It's beautiful, and it's quite amazing. Yeah, and you should get to play it as well, Trikvim. I do think that you would enjoy it somehow.
That's very possible.
Yeah.
I would have to break my rule of only playing Football Manager as a computer game. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Jim poked fun at me a little bit, of course, in this comment. And he did recommend Killing Eve, which I am interested in.
Yeah.
I will be checking that out.
I don't know about Killing Eve, but maybe we should try and check it out. What did he say? Like macabre fun?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, macabre, lighthearted fun. I don't know. What she called Phoebe something Wells, who did Fleabag. Did you know about Fleabag?
No.
TV show?
No.
British. Very, very good.
Okay.
Very funny. You should check that out. Actually,
she's attached to Killing Eve.
Yeah, she I think writes Killing Eve. I shouldn't really be talking about Killing Eve if I had nothing about it. But
no,
when I heard she's involved, I was interested immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But Jim made me. Jim's comment made me write down my thoughts about The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Should I go?
Yes, please do.
Him on.
We're not going to watch it like right away anyway. So, we'll get around to it.
The premise is, it's silly in the Western world, but of course, stuff like this is happening in other parts of the world with different religions.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that way, it's relevant, but the whole, the possibility of this taking place in the West is just, I don't know. I don't know. I have too much faith in humanity that this could never happen. I mean,
it's basically about like slavery in some way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fertile women are enslaved to basically have babies because there's a problem with fertility, and very few babies are being born.
Yeah,
and it's all. I mean, it's so bleak. The execution is so long and dull, and there's like in 10 episodes, we have like maybe 5 instances of some kind of hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Rapes, slavery. It's just, like the execution of the filming of it, it's just so, it's not meaningful. It's supposed to be meaningful,
mm-hmm.
but it's just horribly pretentious. I mean, those long takes of in the face of Elizabeth Moss, where she is in constant horror,
mm-hmm.
which is normal for yeah. the situation.
Yeah, but it's okay.
But I mean, she's coming in and out of focus, long takes, and there's always cello music. It's just so mind-numbingly awful.
Like awful in
the feeling of yes. it is awful, but these it's not meaningful. It's supposed to be meaningful.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. It's just like I was trying to find a phrase to describe what this is, and I came up with morbid emotional porn.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's gonna stick. I don't know.
I mean, it's probably not something you would put on as a tagline for for the series.
And we were just, me and Shepmu were just trying to finish, and we did. Mm-hmm. We did finish okay. it. And we're just looking at each other, and one of us saying, yay.
Finally, it's over.
Another horrible, awful scene of somebody getting killed and raped and murdered, blah, blah, blah. It's awful.
Okay.
I do not get what is it in the human why is this so interesting to people?
Well, I don't know exactly how this one does it.
You kind of have to yeah. watch this because you love having a different opinion than I have, so
not
so
only
you
got to
watch this and tell yeah. me why. Tell me why people like this.
I did
like
watch
this.
The first half of it and it seemed fairly interesting to me, but I see that it might be kind of dark and bleak, not much hope there. But that doesn't necessarily make it bad. But yeah, I understand if they just try to make you feel by showing you horrible things, but without any real reason to it. Then.
Just the execution is so long.
Yeah.
It's so... Oh, I just don't
so
get it.
So were you bored we, watching it? Or were you just like feeling tense while watching it and not feeling like there was a reason to be tense? Or like did you feel cheated somehow?
No, it was at times it just felt stupid yeah. to me. Just,
so you didn't buy the premise.
Another horrible scene yeah. about people being horrible and awful to each other. Mm-hmm. And the basis of this is supposed to be religious, and there are like smart people behind the system, and it just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. I mean, even if these people are Christians, extreme Christians... Mm-hmm. Even if these people would take over, you can't just be horrible. You just don't bring back slavery and rape. It just does not happen.
No, I'm just going to make a little bit of connection to that.
You should just
to that game I was playing
okay.
because that was about androids being taken advantage of. Like it's set in like 50 years in the future, and it seems like it's exactly the same kind of dilemma they're in. Well, not exactly because of the reproduction thing, but also you have these people that you don't really deem as people anymore, and you can basically do with them whatever you feel like. And I do think that here the premise actually works in a way, or it holds up, because the computers who are like androids who look like humans and act like humans and maybe even start to think a little bit like humans, they are still machines. And should they have ethical ethics, or do you have morals towards machines? So there you could actually you bought the premise of it, and it seems mm-hmm. to me that with Handmaid's Tale that you don't really know why they went there, other than there's few fertile women in the world, and therefore they decide to torment them.
You know, it's based on a novel, right? Yeah. 1980s novel by Margaret Atwood.
Is that the novel that Children of Men was also based on? No?
No idea. I can understand this world in a novel.
Yeah.
I can understand it because this kind of thing, or things similar to mm-hmm. this, are happening. Yeah. I mean, we have human slavery mm-hmm. and slave mm-hmm. trade and all kinds of horrible things in the world. But I also believe that the world is getting better.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah, it is. Just look at the science, people. It's getting better. And I just want to be clear that it's not because I can't stand I don't cringe with this kind of stuff. It just doesn't register with me. It's just, there's no point to this.
No, and you don't take anything.
There's no point in showing horrible things over and over and over and over and over again.
No.
At the end, it's just stupid to me.
Yeah. And you don't bring anything with you. Well, okay, speaking of horrible, I watched a movie.
okay, yes.
That's called The Tale. And I was kind of intrigued by it because it popped up on Letterboxd, and I realized it was recently released on HBO, and it's starring Laura Dern and directed by Jennifer Fox, whom I don't know anything about. But I didn't know anything about the movie either. And weirdly enough, Alien and I sat down, started to watch it, and the first part of that movie really seemed bad. It seemed like a B, straight to DVD, TV kind of thing. But it did some interesting things. So the thing is, you follow Laura Dern, who is a journalist, teaching and how to do interviews at a class. But there's something in her past, and she's trying to unravel it. She's being confronted by it. But she's been hiding it in her head for a long time. And the interesting part about this is that you're seeing her memories, but they keep changing. So she saw her time at this ranch with some horses and being taught how to ride as a time where she was probably around 16, 17 years old. But then while the movie progresses, she realizes she was probably a little bit younger, and then her memory changes, and you see the same kind of scenes but with younger people. And when it comes down to it, around the halfway point, you realize this is about pedophilia, basically. And Alien decided to look away from the screen and said, oi, 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 when that topic really became apparent, and she refused to watch the rest of the movie. I stuck with it, and it's extremely a very brave movie to do. They did it really well, I think, and from the halfway point, it just changes gear completely. Laura Dern does a fantastic job. And the girl that plays her as like 12, 13-year-old also does an amazing job being in this kind of weird relationship with an older man. And, you know, like... It's based on the director's own experience, her memoir. She wrote a book about it and has now like made this film interpretation of it. And it's a very special movie in a way, because you're always on board with Laura Dern, like the person who is being exploited, you know. You're on board mm-hmm. with her, and she's always trying to justify it, and you can feel that in the movie. And there's no, like, you don't see these distinct evil people. You see how she is being manipulated, but you also see how she probably felt quite safe most of the way through, and why mm-hmm. she would interpret it like that in her later life. Very horrible movie, actually very well done. Huge kudos to Jennifer Fox for making this movie. And, you know, I would definitely recommend you watching it, if you get the chance, even though it is also one of those horrible movies that you can't really watch mm-hmm. more than once. I would really rather not watch this again, because there's some quite haunting images in it.
I remember, thank you for your passionate account of mm-hmm. this. I don't know if I would be up to this, no. but I have, at one time I have just stopped and said, no more, this is too mm-hmm. awful. And that's Lilia Forever, okay. Lucas yeah. Moodysson. That's just, I just couldn't, I was halfway mm-hmm. through, and it was just, I can't anymore. It's too much.
Mm. That also, like, Lucas Moodysson is known for making really depressing movies. You could say that Lilia Forever ends a little bit on a high, well on a positive note. Well, you haven't seen the ending.
I haven't seen the ending, but it.
You could probably also say that it's not. did that, but I can assure you that there's some sort of resolution for this movie.
There's a point to the whole thing. There's a point to making it,
like the tale, this one.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah,
in comparison to what you're describing.
I mean, this is based on a true story, and there's some really, you know, interesting storytelling devices in it. I love the way that okay. they use memories and how they change. I've seen that before, but not in this way. You also have scenes where the characters talk directly to the camera, because it's mm-hmm. it's her memories, and she sees it as a point of view thing. It's very, I don't know what to call it, jarring.
I should probably see this.
I think so. And it's Laura Dern also, and she is good. She is good.
She's a favorite here.
She is.
She's almost Tilda Swinton status in this podcast, isn't she?
A little bit. Like I have an ambivalent like feeling about her. I am on record with one of my friends to say that I really dislike her, because one of my first best movies that I experienced in the cinema was Jurassic Park, and she's in that one.
Oh.
And very fittingly, now that the latest Jurassic Park is in the cinemas, right? But I didn't like Laura Dern that time.
No.
But it was before I got my eyes up for real cinema.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a point... And before that point, you just think, oh my God, what was I thinking? I didn't know mm-hmm. anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. okay. That's comes highly recommended.
Highly recommended.
From you, the tale.
It's a 4-star movie, actually. I only gave it 4 stars. But it's because, I mean, the subject matter is very important.
Difficult.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I mean, the first half is still kind of, well, B-like. You know, there were even quotes that was pulled directly from The Room. Such as,
really,
such as you have to record everything, and do you understand life? And yeah, so okay. Because of that, we were surprised by the ending. Anyway, anything else
good.
That you've been?
Yes, saw something on Filmstruck this week. Yes, and I sent you something about that.
And I actually also saw it.
Singing in the Rain.
Well not that one. I didn't see that one. No.
Singing in the Rain. Finally saw Singing in the Rain. I was just, to use a phrase I kind of hate, blown away.
I understand.
It was just fantastic.
It is the best musical ever made.
I totally agree, and it kind of puts La La Land,
La La Land
in the context
was a tribute
for me
to Singing in the Rain. There are scenes that are directly pulled from Singing in the Rain and many others. Well, anyway,
I didn't really enjoy that final 17-minute dance scene because it had no place there, really. Yeah. It was just him being a kind of being a prick, Gene Kelly. Just this is what I want to do, kind of thing. And but overall, it was just I was humming all week.
Yeah.
Good morning.
It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you.
And you were also dancing down the halls.
Of course, this song.
Down the stairs.
I was not dancing, no, but because I can't really dance. But Singing in the Rain is also a great song. It's just, and Donald O'Connor,
and, you know,
great.
It's still really, really funny. You know, it's extremely funny.
It's funny.
There's some great scenes. I think what makes it even more like likable for me is because it takes place during that era where you change from silent films to talkies and there's a lot of stuff in this movie and I love it like for that, and it's just a really fun period to make a musical about, you know, I mean, with stars who can't really aren't known for other than their looks.
Exactly, there's a whole lot of stars that just kind of fucking faded at that time, but just the sheer skill of it, the dancing and the singing, and just it was a feel good extravaganza for me.
And Debbie Reynolds
and
is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Debbie Reynolds, yes, she's very good. Did you know she didn't, she had to be taught everything? She didn't, she's not a dancer at that point.
Yeah. And they couldn't fake that back then.
That's a testament to her character.
Like CGI wasn't that evolved.
Exactly. no, and just that interplay, Donald O'Connor and Gene Kelly, it's they're great, aren't they? They're great.
It's just a completely different
type
of movie. Like, they don't make these anymore, and I do think that's why Damien Chazelle's La La Land was so like well liked, because it's that kind of musical that he tried to revive in a way. You know, you can draw many parallels between it, but no, it just didn't have the same spark.
Yeah, but not tone is not one of them.
It's not,
I would say.
It's just a little bit
tone
more goofy.
Tone is important, yeah.
Back then, you know, goofy but real. You know?
Yeah. There was some really funny stuff there when they were like looking at the dailies from the shooting of the silent film, and it's just... These really good, funny scenes, but and a lot of heart and some great skill and good music and
I
dancing.
Love when
it's just
he's
all you need.
Turning away from the microphone like this all the time.
Yeah.
And it's such a long scene.
She's such a stereotype, that one, but who cares in a comedy?
Yeah,
you need stereotypes in a comedy. But that's that. That's highly recommended as well. If you haven't, if you like modern people and you don't really watch old films, just take a Wednesday evening and watch Singing in the Rain.
Yeah. Maybe every other week, just watch Singing in the Rain. I mean, you could do that.
Once a month,
pick yourself up.
It gets you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of pickups,
another film.
Yeah. This has been a prolific 2 weeks.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
For
you,
I've also watched Frozen quite a bit, actually, because Rasko has been sick and she all of a sudden wanted to try and watch Frozen and now she can't stop. So we tried to keep her away from it.
All right.
But anyway, Frozen is a good movie. There's nothing to that. But but Coco, we finally watched Coco. And... well, I won't spend too much time on it because I really want to discuss it maybe in more detail with you at some point. But it is fantastic.
Yeah.
It fully deserved the Oscar that it got. And it is, yeah, it's beautiful. It's heartwarming. It has a good like plot. The way it sets up things is amazing. And, you know... You get the feels a few times, and there's a lot of great music in it. So so please, like, if you get the chance, watch Coco. It's great. You had one more. I think we need to speed this up a bit. It's running long.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm just gonna mention something I forgot to mention last time. We went to the movies with Sumali for Peter Rabbit. Yeah, we had a great time. I think it was just funny and
gotten bad reviews. Yeah,
I know. But when you just go with your 2 year old and
you have different kinds of expectations,
you have different kinds of expectation. I don't have a knowledge of the Peter Rabbit franchise or whatever. I know nothing about it. I saw a fun film. It was fun, and it's gotten some. criticisms, but
no,
didn't bother me at all. In fact, it was kind of from a feminist's perspective, it was quite spot on. I felt it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
had some stuff that, but I didn't take notes, so I'm not going to go into detail.
No.
The film you were thinking about was another one on. Filmstruck,
mm-hmm.
which was Insomnia.
Yeah, we also got to watch it.
Yes,
two sittings, because the first time we definitely didn't have insomnia. We like after 15 minutes we passed out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
all right.
Like as I told you before the show, Rasko has been sick, so we've all been kind of tired lately. But mm-hmm. we've also watched it, yeah?
I didn't really rate it...
very highly, no?
I thought it was good for what it was supposed to be, and it was nice to see Stellan Skarsgård speak his language, not English.
Yeah.
His English always feels a bit weird, don't you think? Somewhat strange.
I think he does a good job with it, though.
He does a good job, but he doesn't sound like a natural English speaker, does he?
No, he sounds Swedish.
He sounds Swedish.
He does.
Yes.
He does.
And he is Swedish, so that's good to hear him speak Swedish. That's the first time I hear him speak Swedish.
Okay,
So there you go. But it was a good film.
Yeah.
It's good Nordic noir.
Yeah, Nordic noir, crime stuff, but with a twist. I felt like there was a twist to it with him suffering from insomnia, and you couldn't really tell whether it was hallucinations or what he actually experienced was real all the time. I got that sense from this movie, and that's something that is different from this kind of, well, who did it kind of story.
Who done it?
Yeah, yes. you knew who did it for a while, but this movie
that's difficult for many people who enjoy noir. It's difficult to know who did it.
Yeah,
I never liked those Derek episodes where you knew the killer.
No.
You like the chase.
Yeah. But this
but
one...
that didn't bother me here. No? It kind of kept you on your toes, this one.
Yeah, I love that.
You never really knew what's going to happen. And
you never knew whether Stellan Skarsgård was actually not
guilty?
A good guy. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
You know, like there was something distinctly not good about this character. He was not just a depressed police detective, you know. There was something more to him.
He was, of course, flawed, like they all are, all the good ones.
Yeah.
Well,
but
Harry
he was
Hole
even
was
more
flawed,
so.
But
yeah. But
I
one thing,
get back to Harry Hole when I think about Nordic noir these days.
I mean, it did take place in Norway, so, you know.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. But no Harry Hole up there.
We have that midnight sun here in Iceland as well, so,
there was also
I know
a
what
lot,
he's talking about.
A lot of the scenery just looked like taken straight out of Iceland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
straight out of it. Yeah.
And it was kind of this small town in north part of Norway.
Yeah.
So it kind of felt Icelandic a little bit.
Yeah. It did. I liked that about it. One thing I loved about it was the very, very 90s way it ended, though. You remember? The eyes lighting up? No? Anyway,
to tell you the truth, Rune, I think I fell asleep at the very, 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 very end. I didn't remember.
All right. Well, if you happen to like stumble upon insomnia, wait for the end, and it's like the most 90s thing you can ever see. Well,
okay,
maybe
I'm going back. Yeah. I'm going back and seeing it again. All okay. Right.
So, on that note, should we go to the main feature this evening?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Lady Bird.
I hate California. I want to go to the East Coast.
I want to go where culture is, like
how
New
in the
York.
World did I raise such
or
a
at least
snob.
Connecticut or New Hampshire, where writers live in the
get
woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom!
You should just go to City College. You know, with your work ethic, just go to City College and then to jail and then back to City College and then maybe you'd learn to pull yourself up and not expect everybody to do everything.
Lady Bird, is that your given name?
Yeah.
Why is it in quotes?
I gave it to myself. It's given to me by me.
Lady Bird always says that she lives on the wrong side of the tracks, but I always thought that was like a metaphor. But there are actual train tracks.
That was a clip from Lady Bird, the directorial debut of Greta Gerwig, starring Saoirse Ronan.
Well done, Saoirse.
Yeah. Yeah, Saoirse. And Lucas Hedges.
I like him.
And it's a story about Christine Lady Bird McPherson growing up in Sacramento, California. She's growing up on the wrong side of the tracks, as she puts it herself. And she's trying to be part of, well, she's trying to be part of the more fashionable...
Well, she did
area,
did that,
or like fitting
know.
In, basically.
Well, no, she was basically had to ride on the price of getting out of Sacramento, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was means
but,
to an
but
end.
But she at least didn't. Yeah, at least she didn't want to be stuck in a lower middle class life.
And there are actual tracks, so she was on the wrong side of those tracks. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it. It seems to be an autobiographical movie to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
from Greta Gerwig herself, since she grew up in Sacramento, California.
I think maybe that's one of the best parts of this film. It seems personal.
It seems personal. It seems real. It seems like some of those situations could actually have taken place. It actually seems very real. I think you can relate to many of the situations that are being presented in this movie.
Yeah.
And probably even more so if you are a woman.
Yeah. One thing I just thought of is it's very, very American. One of those things you always see in American films and you don't really think too much about, but it's always there, and that's the going to college thing. I mean, she was just saying, why is everybody going somewhere else?
Yeah.
Away from the family. It seems to be built into the system that people just fly the coup somehow. Mm-hmm. And it seems to work for them. Also, the huge cost of education in America. I mean, these people were refinancing the house, trying to pay for college. It's not like that here, where I live.
No. I mean, it's not something you can relate to in the same way. You know, here you don't have to pay anything at all. It's kind of like this right you have as a citizen to get an education.
It's a subject.
So, yeah, I mean, in that way, you can't relate in the same way. But, I mean, you understand the premise and you understand that this is something that is hugely expensive, especially if you need to go into some of the good colleges and not just public colleges. Mm-hmm.
I think we shouldn't really worry about spoilers. I mean, she there gets into Columbia and New York.
Yeah, goes to New York, like Felicity.
Like Felicity. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm baffled why you kind of liked that thing. It didn't relate to me that much back in the day. She was pretty, though, and with nice hair.
Yeah, I liked her hair. It was so horrible when she cut her hair in, what, season 4 or something. It's like, why did you do that? No. Anyway. But I really enjoyed this movie. You know, watching it and knowing it's the first movie of Greta Gerwig, I couldn't help but relate it to the last movie we watched by a first-time director, Lucky. Mm-hmm. And how I felt like that movie was such a student film in many ways, because it really tried to hit all the beats. This movie is so well done. You know, I can't believe this is the first movie that she really did. There are a lot of similarities to Noam Baumbach movies.
There are a couple experience.
Yeah. And you understand that. I mean, it's the same way of making movies, but still she has her own style already somehow. And I just really love the snappy editing and the way it's so, straight to the point. You know, several scenes it's kind of a style throughout. She doesn't really linger too much on scenes. Like, you have whatever's going on, and then you cut to the consequence.
That's basically a definite plus for me. I especially liked the editing. I felt it was, like you say, snappy. I thought it was like a little chaotic, and it felt maybe an attempt to recreate adolescence somehow. And also, I had this horrible thought because I noticed the exciting incident takes place after 34 minutes, which is fairly close to the the allotted time frame, like making it a little bit formulaic, I guess. But I thought maybe she's editing so fast because she knows she can't wait another 5 minutes to have the exciting incident / plot twist. It's just a thought. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Maybe.
But
yeah.
Probably not. I'm going to...
I think it's the style.
Yeah, it's the style.
I do think
I'm just
so.
Saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, the style. Also, the mm-hmm. camera style. It somehow felt non-invasive.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the distance mm-hmm. as well. It seemed kind of the right distance with the camera always.
Yeah.
It seemed non-invasive, but still, it's like you're in the room
mm-hmm.
watching it,
yeah.
but not in it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I know maybe that's a little thing for most people, but
yeah,
I thought that was good.
Yeah. You were like a spectator that wasn't like too...
You were just standing there in the corner,
yeah.
watching Mr. McPherson play his solitaire.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
great.
What
do you think about the setting, kind of 2002, 2003 kind of thing?
I don't know if the time... like place into it that much other than, you know, I mean, she felt like she had a chance in New York due to
mm-hmm.
the incident over there mm-hmm. in 2001. But you know, like it was just very fun to follow this family who, like, on the surface in a way seems to be doing very well, like fine, you know, and how even the lower to like middle class families can struggle over there. I mean, also they lived in Sacramento and like were among people who had loads of money, but even like this kind of like middle class. Would you say middle class? Probably a little bit lower.
I would say middle class. Yeah. I mean, the father is a programmer.
Yeah. Can't get a job though.
She's a nurse, yeah. I'm thinking.
Yeah. So, but even those people struggle, you know, and
everybody struggles.
Yeah. It's never everybody easy. Struggles.
It's never easy.
No. Except for those on the other side of the tracks.
Yes. Yeah. There was a lot of, did you notice, a lot of pop culture references there in the beginning. I started writing them down mm-hmm. because I'm thinking, what's going on here? Is this going to be like this the whole way through?
Yeah.
Like in a space of a few minutes, there was like Grapes of Wrath, Alanis Morissette, mm-hmm. Keith Richards, yeah. Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
It was just thrown at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, started writing it down and then it kind of stopped.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just the setting, the time and place kind of thing.
I think so. I mean, even Alanis Morissette is a little bit past that time. So I think it's more of a Greta Gerwig move. Her.
What about Grapes of Wrath, though?
I don't know.
Because that's a family struggling.
Yeah.
And during the Depression, it's of course, Steinbeck novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually watched the film.
Yeah.
I think it's John Ford. I forget, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it was... what's she called? Fonda.
Jane Fonda.
Henry Fonda.
Henry
Fonda. It's a 1940 film. And it's... so I know a little bit about that. It's a family that really, really struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why they were listening to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something to do with where she places her family.
Yeah. I think so. I think so. I think this movie is filled with very like somehow subtle setups and payoffs, and it works really well. You know, like one thing in particular that I really liked about this was the way she was using that blue house as mm-hmm. a through line throughout the movie. Like you always had that blue house. And it was just like the subject of admiration, and then like She longed for it in a different kind of way later, and all of a sudden it became that thing that you really shouldn't go to, you know, like it just like changed its character, the Blue House, and it was like this point that everything evolved around in some way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sure.
And it was
so it's
well
very
made.
classy, kind of a class system-y.
Yeah, and she realized she didn't want that house, metaphorically speaking.
Let's talk about performances. We have Saoirse Ronan. She was good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she, like, Greta Gerwig could have chosen to play this part herself, but then she wanted someone who was a little bit younger and took Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan is like 20
still,
something?
20, she 21? Is way too old for this part, and that's also
is she?
Yeah, isn't she? Yeah,
I don't think so. I mean, Greta Gerwig is way too old.
Yeah,
Saoirse Ronan is. She has the acne and all.
Yeah, but it seemed like she was a bit older than what they wanted her to be, and the same was like for every other character. I think like they were supposed to be like 16, 17 years old, and
17, 18. Yeah, you finish high school at 18.
Yeah, but still, like. I was thinking at least like Saoirse Ronan was a little bit old, but you bought it. I mean, you had to just go with it, you know. But,
I'm delighted to say I disagree with you.
Great.
Yeah, I didn't think that at all.
No.
For any of the actors, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally bought it.
Yeah. All right. But that's really good. But they did also a very good job of playing these characters.
Absolutely.
I love the setting and the Catholic, a Catholic school, like mainly because I went to a Catholic school, so I recognize some of it.
So you recognize the stuff, okay. Yeah,
some of it. Actually, I mean, we weren't taught by nuns, but no. We did have some monks there.
I actually wrote down that the religion doesn't feel horrible here.
Mm-mm.
It feels okay. The nuns are portrayed in a loving light, somewhat.
Yeah.
And that minister who does the play with them, they all seemed very nice and good. And I didn't get that I don't want this crap in my life feeling.
No.
I usually get with religion.
No.
I was.
Exactly. I mean, not to make it too personal here, but the school I went to, it was Catholic, but they were all for all-inclusiveness. Like, everybody could be there, and everybody were entitled to their own opinions and also religion. I went to school with also Muslims and Protestants and me.
Well, that's good.
You know, so... So it's just like values, but they were accepting of that, and it seemed like that here as well. I mean, yeah. And they had a sense of humor about it.
Yeah. Also, it when you think about it, it's Greta has a very good warm feeling about her school. Mm-hmm. It seems to mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, even though that she's good. Slacking a bit. Then she was happy about it, and they also liked her, even though she was a bit feisty sometimes. For instance, at that like great scene at the pro-life conference or whatever that. It was like gathering, that was a good comeback from her, and again a great example of cutting to the consequence right after, you know.
Yeah.
So
when
it comes down to it, I really enjoyed this movie, watching it. I was kind of just like in it all the way. I didn't get distracted by anything, and I enjoyed my time with it. But when it came to the end, I was not like, I didn't feel anything in particular like that. Like, it was a very good story. It was fun to sit through. It was very well made. There's nothing I can really put my finger on, but it didn't move me.
No. There are drawbacks, so I'm going to get to that.
Yeah?
But I agree with you. It was very it's very likable. It felt good watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It was not at all a waste of my time. I enjoyed it mm-hmm. fully throughout.
Yeah.
But I noticed a couple of things. But let me just get back to the actors a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm always delighted to see characters that have appeared on Frasier anywhere. And we had Laurie Metcalf there as the mother.
Yeah.
And she played Frasier's first wife there. And one episode, she came back to town and she's a children's performer.
Oh, yeah.
She Nanny G? Performs children's song. Nanny G.
Really?
Yes.
Is that Laurie Metcalf?
We had that's Laurie Metcalf. Oh,
my God. Yeah. I'm always singing that song in my head.
I'm not.
No,
but
I am.
But I liked seeing Laurie Metcalf, and I think she did a really good job. Also, I want to mention Lucas Hedges. We did that. Mm-hmm. We saw him in
Manchester by Missouri. The Sea.
Yes, best. Manchester by the Sea, and that Missouri awful picture.
Oh, yeah.
Three billboards.
Yeah.
But he is very good. He is a very talented actor, mm-hmm. I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And last but not least, and I think she kind of stole the show, Beanie Feldstein.
Yeah.
The best friend.
Yeah.
She has a way about her.
Hmm.
Yes. Yeah. She when she smiles, she kind of lights up the whole room.
Yeah.
She has a way about her, I have to say.
Yeah.
And I think she did a really good job here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some struggle in her. And you really got that.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the little amount of time she actually got on screen, because she kind of falls out of the movie throughout the, like, well, halfway
yes.
through.
She kind of, I don't know, uses her time well. She has a way about her. Mm-hmm. that's the only way I can describe it
mm-hmm.
at this point. I hope to see more of her.
Yeah.
She's Jonah Hill's sister,
okay.
I'm told.
Okay.
So we're going to see more of her.
And some comedic
probably
roles.
Probably in a comedy.
Yeah.
But hopefully she does something else as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah. I would like to see her more.
The acting, yeah. The cast was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the father, who's played by...
Yeah, I remember him, but I...
Tracy Letts.
Yeah.
I just think the actress...
things such as...
Tracy Letts. Yeah. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, 2006. Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross.
Okay, maybe that one.
Yeah. It's
a very well-liked movie.
But he was a good cast. Mm-hmm. He was a good fit for this role, and he did well.
Yeah.
So when our director gets this kind of...
talent
performances out of her talent. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
That means she's doing something right.
I think she does so many things right. So many things. Mm-hmm. Also performances wise.
Yeah.
There's nothing that seems first time in this movie, I think.
Yeah.
Really.
Well,
not really.
I did mention the exciting incident
mm-hmm.
after 34 minutes, but I mean, we covered a little bit about the camera, editing,
mm-hmm.
Pacing, kind of mm-hmm. Performances. And anything, are there any drawbacks for you?
Not really. No.
Okay.
As I said, like I didn't feel like very moved or anything afterwards. It's kind of like just ended and I'm not really thinking of it. But other than that, I don't really... think there's anything wrong with the movie in that way.
Okay.
Some characters are maybe saying things that should just be in Greta Gerwig's head, or like Saoirse Ronan's head somehow, and some of those characters are like an extension of what she wants her own character to say, but you know, it's forgivable.
A couple of things I want to mention. The popular girl.
Yeah.
She was a total cliche.
Yeah, but maybe something that you actually see in the school environment there in that area. I completely bought it as that type of person that you would see. And then again, she's also being shown through the eyes of the spectators, these teenagers who are coming of age. And like, yeah, she was not a perfect
person. I guess she kind of is redeemed somewhat when they're alone. I mean, she's not horrible to her or anything like that, but she is a total cliche, and how she is shown in a group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think that's how teenagers are really in America. I just don't buy that.
No.
And I think everybody has a story,
mm-hmm.
and we just didn't get to see her story. That's okay, yeah. But she felt the cliche to me. Another thing that it's probably supposed to be a kind of a joke, but when that football coach took over the play.
Yeah. You know, I laughed there in the beginning, but then I was just thinking, you're taking this too far.
It was a bit painful.
And it seemed like the only thing that really stood out as this kind of sore thumb in the movie. Because it was comedic in a completely misplaced way.
Yeah.
I agree with you there.
Thank you.
Yes, I do. and they could have skipped that whole part.
Otherwise, it feels compact. The script is not. The script is good, actually.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Beside these tiny points here and there.
Yeah, I mean it's all put together really well. Like it fits together like clockwork.
Apparently. And I'm aware of the fact that when people say apparently, yeah. it's something that they heard somewhere
else.
Yeah. And you don't know the truth. I think she said in an interview, Greta Gerwig, that the script was 350 pages to begin with.
Okay.
And it had to be cut down to under 200 pages or something like that. And there's a lot of work. Right? Probably. Yeah. Maybe it was cut by 200 pages. I don't know.
Isn't it around 90, but, like 1 minute per page? So,
is it?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm not sure, but it was cut severely.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was only one hour in a movie. 1.5 hours or something, right?
Wasn't it? This movie, it's like 1:33, 1:34 or something like that. And it feels compact, and I was thinking maybe the editing also has as well as making a point.
Yeah,
it's also helpful in just cutting it down to this
bare essentials,
convenient size.
Yeah,
length of a picture does matter. It does matter.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And in this case, in a picture such as this, it doesn't need to be 2 hours, 20 minutes. It should be 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
So I have to, I'm happy about the script and how it's paced and everything. It's very good. Yeah. Very good.
For the longest time,
this
movie had like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
because everybody loved it like to perfection, basically.
It's going a bit far, but
yeah,
okay.
That is going a bit far. But I totally agree that this is a delightful movie. It's something that you could watch easily and be entertained and get something out of it, and great performances everywhere, basically everywhere you look in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Like a good 1.5 hour
I would say she's a talent.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next movie she's doing. Because, like, somehow, like, not to say anything bad about Noam Baumbach, but, for instance, the Meyerowitz stories that he just did, like, it just, this movie seemed a little bit more real, where, like, the Baumbach movies, like, not all of them, obviously, but his latest ones seemed a little bit more constructed in a way, like, yeah. So this one, like, it just seemed real, and I think it's because of the subject matter being very real to Greta Gerwig.
Let's see what she does with a script that is just made up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah?
That's different the real kind of story. Test, I guess. But of course, this was a real test. It's
very well
executed by Greta. Yes. I'm happy with this. I gave it 7. 3.5.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it didn't really. I wasn't really affected by it in any way.
No.
But it was just a good 90 plus minutes and well spent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Delightful.
I think so too.
I would even say 7.5. So.
Yeah.
But it's 3.5.
Yeah. 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 I gave it 4, so I'm a little bit more positive. But I think we're along the same lines, though. You know.
You said last time that you were being a bit. I'm always like over you in the stars department.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe, well, he's being generous.
Yeah.
He's being generous, I thought.
Yeah. But maybe it's also.
You were also generous these 2 weeks. You were really generous with your stars.
Yeah, but I've been feeling so good about all these movies I've been watching.
Nice.
You know, and you know, in this case, I think it's also this kind of encouraging star. Like, I know something good could happen here. So, I mean, I can't fault her for. The things that it doesn't live up to, because what she sets out to do, she does really well.
You know, she does it really well.
The fact that it doesn't affect me on a deep level, that's just me. I'm sure if some of the things resonate more with you, and they really can, then you will feel this movie is really amazing. You know,
I guess I can. Totally agree with that. I hope she sees your ratings and thinks, I'm encouraged by this.
I should give it another try here. Anyway, if anyone has comments about Lady Bird, if you think we're completely off, or if you actually know why it got 100% ratings on Rotten Tomato, please let us know on contact@theconversationpodcast.net or find us anywhere on social media and drop us a message there.
Yeah, like Jim did on our webpage when he just commented on the post.
Yeah, that was great. It was great fun getting a message there. So
did I say thank you to Jim?
I think you did.
Thank you, Jim.
But let's say thank you. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Jim. We like feedback.
Yeah, we do.
Actually, we need a feedback jingle.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a feedback jingle. We need to contact our musical advisor.
Yes, that would be good.
Yeah. Anyway, next time. What are we thinking of doing here? I'm still thinking a little bit about the Wes Anderson animation stop motion thing. Could be fun to check out. It's getting good reviews and and I am a sucker for stop motion animation. If anything,
but are you a sucker for Wes Anderson?
No, I am not.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but they're like a minus and a plus that.
Yeah.
Gives plus.
Yeah.
Or
what? What's no minus and plus exactly. Gives minus, but minus gives plus. So
Let's hope it's not true for Isle of Dogs, though.
Yeah. What about a woman at war?
Yeah,
what's going on there in Denmark?
It's not coming to Denmark anytime soon. I can't Jeez. Find it anywhere. On the other hand, Under the Tree is coming to Denmark now.
Wow,
about the 5th of July.
Late. That's late.
Yeah. Well, it's an
but
Icelandic
you should go see
film.
It, though.
Like, who cares about you those should... down here?
Right? You should see it, though.
Yeah. I will. I will see it.
I'm waiting to go to Woman at War with my in-laws.
Yeah.
They were dying to see it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do that probably this week or next.
Okay.
So
maybe I should take a trip to Iceland and just watch the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take a trip to Iceland, watch the movie.
Go back.
Knock on Benedict's door.
Yeah.
And ask him for an interview.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. That's a great idea.
That'd be good.
I have time.
Because
I've got time.
Yeah. You don't have a kid or a
no,
job or anything like that?
No, no. There's nothing. Nothing to do here. So,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens next time. But
let's see.
Just thank you for listening today. And we will be back with something next time. Won't
yes, we will. Thank you for listening. And well, see you next time. I just wanted to say it again. But yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye. Is there an expression in Danish like burning your fingers?
Brændenælderne.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's Danish thing because you translated it to English and I was like, what? Like Jim burned his fingers buying something.
Oh, yeah. That's why you were laughing a bit. Yeah.
Do people just say that? Just he burned his fingers buying something.
Yeah. Well, he did burn his fingers. You get it.